Well, I desire your prayers this morning. I desire to know the truth. And I mean that more than a general sense of the truth. But I want to know truth. I like to say to people sometimes, do you like being wrong? Do you like to be wrong? Well, the scripture says that every man's way is right in his own eyes, so it's really hard to get to that place. But that's what I want to think about this morning. Knowing the truth, desiring reality. I want something real. I don't like the idea of doing what I'm doing and getting to the end and finding out that I've done it wrong. I think that is one of the most tragic things to think about. I don't want to go through this life thinking that I'm right about something and being wrong. Do you? How possible is it that you're wrong about something this morning? Do you think it's even possible at all that you could be mistaken or wrong about something? Maybe you got formed an opinion about something. Maybe think about somebody a certain way, or maybe you've concluded things in your life. And I guess I really would just like to ask the question that I really don't want you to answer out loud, but to answer to yourself, is there any possibility that I could be wrong about something in my life? Or is that not very likely to happen? I'm saying that being wrong is a very likely thing. To most all of us, it's fairly likely to, in the course and process of our life, to get information about something and misjudge that information or misuse that information or think something about it that's not true at all. And be wrong about it. Whether the fact of being wrong is an eternal thing or not, I don't know. But I don't want to be wrong. And I want the Lord to help me in my life to be right. I want the reality of God in my life. I want to know more than just being religious. I'm not satisfied with religion. The whole world is religious in some way or another. Even those that are not religious make a religion out of it. It's man's belief is what religion is. And people are religious. I want to be more than just religious. Religion don't satisfy me, what I'm trying to say. It don't satisfy me. I know I want more than just religion. I want more than to have a system to where I made a pattern of life that I do certain things. That's the way I do it. I come in and my wife will tell you, we sit, when we come to the Lorenzo camp meeting, we sit right there. We have for years. I don't know if we're putting somebody out or not. But if you came to our congregation and sat in that seat, we'd have to sit somewhere else. Because that's where we sit at home. Right there. It's what we're comfortable with. That's okay. There's nothing wrong. We're patterned. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what all religion is. I mean, religion is that, but that's not what God is all about. That I patterned myself to religious orders. I go to service. I do certain things. I do it a certain way. I make my things to the Lord. And that's what I do in my life. But there's so much more than that. God really wants something real in our lives. He wants to show us the reality of it. I don't want to just go through the form, but I want the reality of God in my life. And I know that there's all these things on the exterior. And they're right. And if I want to say anything this morning that you understand, that I'm not going to cover over and over, but I want you to understand that I am in no way saying this morning that we should drop in any way any standard that's been held and has been good for us and holds us in it. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying this, that it's possible to maintain all of that and still miss it. It is possible to do all those things and have a wrong spirit. Yeah. It's possible to do all those things and have a lot of things wrong inside and not really have a heart. Do you know we can do those kind of things and not really have a heart to serve God? The psalmist said, "Search me, O God." That idea is that there may be a wicked way. I'm not intelligent enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm human, and I don't know where the wrongs are. I'm going to follow a natural course of things. I'm going to think certain things. If somebody hits me, I'm going to say, "Ouch." And all the things that go along with that is what the human man's going to do. But Lord, search me and help me to understand. So today, I'd like to open our hearts to this idea. God wants to communicate Himself to us. And He wants us to have the reality of Him. And to open ourselves in an honest way and say, "Lord, search me that I might be right. Check me and make sure that my spirit is right. Make sure that my attitudes of things right. My demeanor's right. Lord, help me to have it more than a pious walk of the way I dress and those kinds of things." And they're all right, folks. But that God would give me something more than the exterior. That why I'm doing it shines out. Do you know that it's possible to look modest on the outside and be everything but modest on the inside? To have immodest actions, immodest thoughts, immodest ways, not having the real idea. It's possible in all the things that we do to be errant in it. And I'm not satisfied in my own life for that. I want more than that. I want to know. I know it's not always possible to get along with people, but I don't want to be guilty of not getting along with them. Let You be guilty, but I don't want to be guilty of it. Lord, help me to do everything that I can do and have the right kind of view towards it, that I am blameless in it. But I'm going to have the Lord teach me and help me to be able to do that. In the 50th Psalm, I'm going to start with the 5th verse. It says, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak." Oh, what a thing to think about. "Hear, O my people, and I will speak." If you'll put your ear this way, I'm going to speak. How important is that today? How important do you think it is that the Lord speaks? Amen. That He's the one that does that. In order for us to get anything from the Lord, we first got to drop the notion that we know it ourselves. I remember Brother Sammons or Brother Tony one used to teach tell the story of, I think it was Brother Sammons, about going to barber class. And they had all of them in there. He was a barber. When they was in barber school, the instructor says to them, "How many people in here know how to cut hair?" Well, there was a number of them, throw their hands up. "We know how." And the first thing he said is, "You all forget what you know." Yes. See, that's a hindrance. That's a hindrance. You think, if you knew, you wouldn't be here. Now let's stop that and get where it's at. The Lord's going to speak, but if we already know, then we've got to open our hearts to say there's a possibility that I'm wrong about something, and Lord, would You help me? Help me to be able to hear Your words. And the Lord was instructing His people here, so it's very important that they listen. "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will testify against thee." Woo! Now, I don't know. I don't mind some instruction. I don't mind some counsel. But you're going to testify against me? Do you know that ought to be our heart? Yes. Lord, testify against me. Only You can. Only You know. You all know me slightly. Some know me better than others, but my wife knows me best. But she don't know me like God knows me. I don't know me like God knows me. He knows better about me. If maybe there's something wrong in there, I think I would be better off to want to know. I really would be better off to know what it is, rather than just put it off to the side. I'd be better off to say, Lord, testify your testimony against me. If there's something to be against, would you testify to me? It's the only hope I have is that the Lord shows me who I am. The only way that I could ever get out of that kind of a thing is for the Lord to show me what it is. And without it, I'm going to go on dysfunctional, unable to do what God would really have me to do, and going along all at the same time with an eye cocked towards everything that seems to come against me, and never realizing that it's me that's causing the thing to start with. Yes. My son called me up one day and said, Dad, he said, I run into something interesting. He said, do you know how if you go to the Walmart sometimes it just seems like that everybody's friendly? And I said, yeah, I've had those times. And he said, then other times you go and everybody's just unfriendly and nobody's wanting to talk. And I said, yeah, I've run into that too. And he said, you know, there are studies out there that says that it's not them, that it's you. That what you're putting off your counsel is what's causing that. It's not the difference with everybody else, but it's actually that you. And I said, I'm not surprised at all. I'm not surprised at all. But you can look and say, boy, people are awful unfriendly around here, have an old long face, or go in with putting off certain vibes about things that you don't even understand. Maybe it's not anything that's evil or wrong, but it's a worrisome or something that you're putting off. Is it possible to be wrong? Do you think that we could possibly be wrong in the course of a day? I say it's possible to be wrong. We don't like to say I'm wrong. But the Lord said, I'm going to testify against you. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've said this, and if you do it different, I'm not saying it's the eternal thing. I'm just saying for me that I like facts. I like truth. I like when I look at a clock. I have atomic clocks at my house that reset itself like to the billionth. And it does it every so often, and it resets itself. And I like to look at the clock, and when it says that in, I say, that's what time it is. And if I look and it says that I'm late to go to service, then I'm going to deal with it. But I don't want it 10 minutes early to try to fake myself out about something I can't get away from anyway, because I know if I said it different, I know I did, so I keep saying, I know I set that clock. I can't deal with it. I want to know what it is. Just plain out, tell me what it is, and I'll deal with it. I don't set my scales different. I don't like the scales we have, because I'll step on them, and it'll tell me something, and I'll step off and step on, and it'll be 3 pounds different, and I can't, I just struggle with the difference. That can't be, I didn't change 3 pounds just now. I want to know what it is. I don't change it any different to make myself feel different or think different. I want to know what the truth is about me. I want to know what it is. Lord, help me to know. Testify against me today. Help me to see what causes me to be like I am. And if there's a remedy for it, then I want that remedy. I want to know. Wouldn't you want to know if something's going along in your body? Well, don't you want to know that there's something there? Maybe if you drink apple juice every day, that it'd be better? Wouldn't you want to know just a simple thing? We don't try to get away from that and say, I don't want to know that. I'll pretend like it ain't there. No. Testify against me. Testify against me. If there's something there that I need, I can be so much better. It's not to say that it's destroying me, but I can be so much better. Lord, and help me to be a better servant. A happier person. I can have more friends. I can have more relationships that are full this way. But when I have these things that I'm is me, that I won't let anything touch, not God Himself, then I'll never be different. If God can't do it, nobody can. We've got to open up and say, search me, O Lord. Testify, not for me. Testify against me. You know, the Lord came and testified for Job. He testified for him. This saying, I'm going to testify against you. Well, Job was in the place for the Lord to testify for him. Great. Lord, testify for me when you can. But when I need it, testify against me. He says, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices, for thy burnt offerings, to have been continually before me. The Lord was saying, these people had made a covenant. They were doing the exterior. They were bringing the proper sacrifices according to the law. They were bringing them. They were sacrificing them. And so the Lord comes and says, I'm not going to reprove you for you doing that, which you should have done. You should do that. Folks, we have an obligation to show through our bodies that the Lord is alive. We have a duty to show a standard of high standard and quality of life in our bodies. We are to dress ourselves. We are to conduct these bodies in a certain way. And the Lord would not reprove us for it. He didn't reprove them there for their actions. It was right for them to have them exterior actions before the Lord. But the problem that they had wasn't that the exterior was wrong. It was that the heart was wrong. They had got rigid about the religion of it and left the whole principles of it. They left all the idea of it. You know, there was a reason. There was a meaning for every sacrifice that they had that really had something to do with the heart. The Lord wanted them to do it and remember it, and it be enhanced by the way they did it on the outside, but because it was in the heart. But because they wasn't doing it in the heart, the Lord said, I'm going to come, and I'm going to testify against you here, but not for the things that you're doing right. Don't stop doing those. I've heard a lot of people try to make an argument to say, well, if people aren't doing it on the inside, they shouldn't do it on the outside. No, they should do it on the outside, but they ought to have it coming from the inside. You don't stop the body and say, well, it's all about the heart. That's not scriptural, folks. It's not scriptural. It starts in the heart, and it goes all the way through the being. It isn't to say that it's just the heart. It is. It comes from the heart, but it isn't just the heart. Not only that, it's a two-way street. The things in the inside affect the outside, but the scripture also says, because iniquity abounds, the sin of the love of many waxes cold. That's the reverse action. Because you can have it in your heart, but the exterior things begin to affect the inside. What you put on, the way you do yourself, the way you present yourself, also backs up and affects your heart too. So we're a complete being. And the Lord wants that complete being to be real, according to the gospel. I want to be a full, whole person in the Lord. I don't want to just say, I'm religious and I do these things, and then have these major heart problems. I want rid of those. I want the Lord to deal with me in this way. And I open the door to His testifying against me. Lord, help me to know. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of the house, nor the goats out of the folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Notice this, the Lord is making an argument to them about who He is and the truth of it. I'm not going to take the things there. I don't need them. I don't know what you think God is today. But He don't need your stuff. He's saying to them here, basically this argument. There's domesticated things and you have them, then I give them to you. So His argument goes something like this, if you want to read all these passages. It goes something like this. Everything you have is mine already. Now how do you suppose that I'm going to take pleasure and you giving me something that's already mine? Be a pretty neat, cheap, inexpensive way, really, to handle birthday gifts, I think. I'll just go in, something my wife has already, wrap it up for her, and present it to her. Well, she probably would say, huh? It's mine already. What good? The Lord makes that argument here. What do you think? Who do you think that I am that somehow I would say, there must be more to this. But if you just would stop and think there'd have to be more to the sacrifices, then you've just given me something that's already mine. So that's the argument that the Lord's laying down. It's mine anyway. But he furthers the argument and says, so, if you don't like that argument, how about this one? If you take the things that I give you and say, well, Lord, you've given them to me, so they must be mine, then how about this? I got more wild creatures than you have tame. I don't need them in the fact that if you want to take them for yourself and say they ain't mine, you can, but because I've got wild beasts that are everywhere, there's more in the wild than there is the tame. I've got an earth full of them. I've got cattle on 1,000 hills. What it really means, I've got it all. It's all mine. I made it, and no matter what you do with it, it's still mine. But if you want to say it's yours, I got more wild stuff running free that you ain't never seen. And if I was hungry, would I tell you? Well, if you know that again was saying if I, because God ain't hungry. God don't get hungry like we do, but he's making an argument to our minds, could you feed me if I did? Would I need you to feed me? Would your offerings feed me if you did? And I got more than you could ever think about. So what kind of an argument? But it brings to my mind this point. What do we think God is today? Do we think God is a God that He gave us time to give it back. What can we give the Lord? You know, we've got something that we can give the Lord. He owns everything else. But there is something that He did give by creation to us that He doesn't encroach upon. That's our will, our love, our heart. We will go to eternity with that. We will go with nothing else. All the rest of God's creation is going to stay. But we're going to take that part that He made in us, we're going to take it all the way to the judgment. What do we think He is? And what does He really want from us? You know what He really wants? He wants our heart. He wants us to have the reality of it. He wants our hearts. He wants the sacrifices coming from the heart. But He wants the heart. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Listen to this. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt be glorified. Offer unto God thanksgiving. God wants us to be thankful. Thankful for everything that He does. Thankful for who He is. Are you thankful? Do you know that that is worth more? It's worth a lot more than the other things. You may say, oh, I have to do this. Oh, I've said this many times. We've said it a lot to our children. Oh, do we have to go to service today? No, we get to go. We get to go. It's not a have to. We get to. It's a privilege. Do I always feel like it? No, I don't always feel like it. My feelings is irrelevant to the decision that I made to serve the Lord, and it's still a blessing to go, and I count it so. I'm thankful that God gave me the ability to go. I'm thankful to God for the things that He happens. You want to offer something to God that means something to God? Be thankful. Be a thankful person. Are you a thankful person? If you're not a thankful person, maybe God needs to testify against you and say, I've given you life. I've given you breath. I've given you all the good things of life. Not only that, but I've given you the bad things of life. I've given you the things that stir your heart to God. All things are meant to be thankful to God. He's God. Thank Him for who He is, what He is. Offer thanksgiving to the Lord. We ought to be thankful to God. And again, I want the reality of this. And I find this a challenge. Is it possible to be wrong? You ever murmur about your circumstance? You're wrong if you do. You need to be thankful. Amen. You need to be thankful. Lord, testify against me that I might learn to be thankful. Sacrifices. It says, pay thy vow unto the Most High. I wrote this down about what God desired in sacrifices. The sacrifices were to be regarded. I don't remember the author, so I can't say who it was. But it's not, this thought's not novel to me. It wasn't my own. The sacrifices were to be regarded as expressions of internal feelings and purposes. The sacrifices that was made, they were to be an internal feeling that they expressed. There was a sin offering. That was to be given with an internal feeling and purpose that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that I am hopeless without something that would redeem me. They made this sacrifice in a purpose of their heart. God, even back then, we think, well, they went through the ritual. No, that wasn't good enough for the Lord even then. He wanted these to be done, but done with the understanding of what they was meant to be done. They made a sin offering. And they was to make it with a purpose of heart that I'm lost and undone without God. And I'm sorry. I find myself in a state of sin, but I don't like it. I wish I wasn't. I wish I was like God. They made that offering to say to the Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry. I repent. It was a penitence. I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. To make it with that kind of heart is what God said, I'm going to testify against you. You make the sin offering, but you have no penitence in your heart. You're supposed to be repenting when you make this offering. A fullness of your heart. I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Do you know that I know that we are forgiven of our sins, and they're cast as far as the east is from the west, and they're cast into the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more forever against us. But did you know that even at the same time, we're supposed to always hate sin and the sin that we've ever committed? We're supposed to be sorry forever that we were ever in sin. Well, then why people flirt around with it then? I'm religious. I go to service on Sundays. I participate. I do all those things. Make things in prayer. I do all those things, and yet flirt with the very thing. God ain't pleased with that. That's just religion. God wants us to be, God, we raise our hands to, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Okay, that's good. But what about in the heart when I'm going through life? Am I thankful that I'm redeemed and staying away from the things that I was redeemed from? See, Lord, testify against us today that we just don't get stuck in a rut and we're running this thing and we don't know what we're doing. Because it's easy, folks. I'm going to tell you, it's easy to be wrong. Amen. We're just human and we don't understand the complexity of it all, but God does. And that really is our greatest hope. He knows me better than I know me. To have internal feelings and purposes of penitence and of a real sense of sin, of gratitude. They would make the offerings, and it was to be done with gratitude when they brought the offerings. Do you remember back at the beginning when Cain and Abel made an offering? In the process of time, it came the time that they was to make an offering. And Abel went and he took of the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. He got an offering worthy, and he offered unto the Lord. Well, Cain wasn't no shepherd. He was tiller of the ground. He was a farmer. So he went and got some stuff. He went and got some stuff. That's what he went and got some things. And he offered it unto the Lord. Put there something in this. I know that there is an idea in there of the shedding of blood and remission of sin. And some have supposed that he by faith, Abel by faith, realizing the sin that was in his life by faith, offered a blood sacrifice. I accept that. But also know this. By the reading, it sounds to me like the one had his heart in it and one didn't. One of them gave it because he had love and gratitude and appreciation and he hated his sins and he wanted to be right above everything else and he offered with his heart a sacrifice. And the other one didn't. The other one went through a religious ceremony to try to gain some favor, probably carnal favor, and he had no real purpose. He had no real purpose. I say it is impossible. I'll even refine it down to me, and you can deal with you. But it would be impossible for me to make the sacrifice of my life to God in love, in gratitude, in the sense of the penitence of my heart, then turn around and go watch a bunch of filthy stuff come across the media in any sense and way. Or to start listening to a bunch of adultery sign across the way. I don't think I can do that and have a good sense that I'm giving the right sacrifice to God. Because it's not the real thing that God really wanted us to have from our hearts. From our hearts. And that's why we're worshiping the Lord, with our hearts. We give Him our hearts and therefore we put away the things that's unlike God. And we're sorry that we ever done it. I want to do those things in my life. But I reach out for the things that He wants in my life. And I'm thankful. And I'll say today, if it's anything I can say with my whole heart, I'm thankful I'm saved. I'd be one wretched, miserable, hateful, grumpy, intolerable old person if I hadn't got saved. And I thank God. I know the potential of wrong is still there. And I pray, Lord, help me to see it right. My wife and I said this many times. I thank God for the things that people have done wrong to me. I would hope that nobody would ever do anything wrong to me again. But I take the wrong and I'm thankful for it because I learn how better to treat people when I'm treated wrong. I don't take near the notice when I'm treated right, but I notice when I'm treated wrong. When somebody does me something and I say, ouch, that hurts, and I don't feel good, I don't want to ever be guilty of doing that to another human being. Lord, thank You for that life's lesson that You've just given me, and I'm going to try to be better and better as I go along because of the Lord's teaching me. And oh, how many times when I say ouch, the Lord will remind me, you remember when you done somebody that way, don't you? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Lord, by Your grace, I'll never do it again. You know what He was doing? He was testifying against me. He was saying, here you are. You want to see how you look in my eyes instead of yours. See, when I do something, it never looks bad. Of course, every man's way is right in his own eyes. So, of course, it's right in my own eyes or I wouldn't do it. So I do it, and I think I'm right for it. Then it comes back at me, and I said, ouch, that looked different this way. And the Lord will say, there it is, a testimony against you that you can learn, that you can see. Open your eyes and see. What do you like? Amen. What do you like? Lord, help us. I've had a lot of people that wanted to try to tell me that services ain't so and so, or this ain't the way it is. Don't go there. If it ain't that way, you be the catalyst. You have the spark. A fire burns. You get lit. When you see that it's like that, do it. I ask the Lord, put me a flame. Give me a testimony. Give me a song. Help me to light somebody. Don't look around and say, well, how dead people are. We're all of us just dead around you. I ain't going because they're dead. Well, we all quit and we go away. No, that's the wrong way. Folks, listen. Lord, testify against me. Yes. Help me to see it the way that I should see it. Help me to see myself. It's so hard for me to see myself. It's really hard. It's possible, folks. It's possible to be wrong. Just making sacrifices, this was in the context of this scripture, just making sacrifice without true feelings are vain. Yeah. their vain sacrifices without having the purpose in your heart of what they was intended for. So it is in our lives as we live for the Lord. Lord, help us to be true. False things are pretty easy to be discovered after a while. False ideas, false ways, they're easy. Making it an exterior without it, that'll give way after a while. The Scripture says every man's work's going to be proved. It'll come down one day. It'll be proven to whether it's gold or silver, precious stones of any kind, wood, stubble, or hay. Because the day's going to declare what it is. And sooner or later, it's going to come out exactly what it really is. All the pious actions and religious ways is not going to hold in the face of it when it comes right down to it. I think it's the most foolish thing to go on being religious without really seeking the Lord for the goods. I think it's a foolish thing because it won't get anything eternal. It gets very little value here. The only thing that you'll ever get is a little praise of men, and most of the time you don't really get it. It's only a facade of your own mind. It's a make-believe world that'll never hold up. But Lord, help us to have the real thing down in our hearts. Amen. Another scripture I wanted to tie in with this one is James. Very familiar scripture. 1st chapter of James. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Gets it down to it now, don't it? Got religion? Got it all? But if he doesn't come to the place of bridling his own tongue, oh, we all know what that old tongue is and what it can do. Out of it are many blessings. Out of it comes the words, I love you. Out of it comes the praise of God. Out of it comes the praise of fellow men. Out of it comes sweetness and all of those things that lift up the heart. Hallelujah. The tongue, what would we do without it? What would we do without the ability to speak to one another? The languages that we learn, and to say things to one another. It's our communication. There's other ways of communicating. There's sign language. There's body language. There's different kind of language. But the tongue expresses all the words. All the meanings of the words, the ability to communicate, it's a fabulous thing. But the same thing can be destructive too. Yes. Yeah. Have you mastered that little member? It's easy to be wrong, folks. Yes. It's the most dangerous weapon that there is. Out of it, it only takes a spark, just a flame, to kindle a great fire. It's a small member, but it's a powerful tool. Yes. We need to guard our tongue. Lord, help us. Testify against us. But this one said, if you don't, your religion is in vain. You're deceiving your own heart. Deceiving your own heart. Going on through life believing, I'm right. I'm right and everybody else is wrong. But I'm right. Lord, help us. Says pure religion. Pure. No defilement in it. Pure. Means it's the real thing. It's truth. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Now it gets down to it. It's this. To visit. I'm going to stop there a minute. To visit isn't like we think about in the English to visit. I'm going to come over and see you today. Come over and have a few words and I visited you. That's not what this word means by a long shot. This word means to visit, means to minister to. It means to take care of. It means to do. To visit someone was to take care of the need, any need, what the need was. That's what the scriptural word meant. To visit the widows means that you went in and took care of the need of the widow. You didn't just show up, but you took care of it. Pure religion and undefiled meant that there was something in there. This is more. This comes down to the heart. There is people that can do some of these works, but they do it for a carnal reason. And that's not what the Lord was talking about. But He's talking about the real heart that God gives His people is a caring, loving, distributing heart. It's a heart that visits. It takes care of. It wants good things. It cares for the others in spite of themselves. It will sacrifice their time not for pride or for vainglory or for recognition or for praise of men, but it'll sacrifice its time for the good of those that would never be able to repay them. Without anything being said or done, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. That you visit. Lord, help us. Because within that idea is the heart. Pure religion is this. That it visits. It visits out of a trueness. Out of a desire to help, it visits who? Those that aren't able to do it for themselves. Those that have needs around you. The heart of Jesus, when He came, the reality that was most prominent in His ministry was that He cared. Didn't He? He died for you. He came to help you out of your situation. I want the reality of God. Amen. Not as some show. If you put Jesus on the back of your shirt, I'm not going to say you shouldn't do that. Maybe it would be better if we all done it. I don't know. But that is not what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to show that you live by Jesus by what you do, not by having to say that. I've seen people wear Jesus hats that didn't act at anything but like Jesus. Bumper sticker says Jesus saves. I know He saves, but don't go making mean gestures as I go by your car. You know what I'm saying? There's that. God didn't want us just to make a statement out there that brings recognition. Oh, they're bold. They got something. They want to do that and then not live right. The Lord did not say that. He said, all men would know that you're My disciples because you have love one to another. Not because you put some big sign up or some kind of great big chapel up somewhere or big synagogue or whatever it is to try to proclaim the glory of God. They'll know it because you have love one to another. Because there's something in your heart that can't be denied. A true religion, a sacrifice. Make a sacrifice for somebody else. A sacrifice to God that says, Lord, I appreciate what You've done for me and I want everybody to have it. A sacrifice of the heart that says, You give me time, Lord, and I'm going to give You time back. I'm going to live for You in the best way I know how. And Lord, I know it's possible to be wrong. Seems like there's a rift among people. But it ain't my fault. Lord, help me to see whether it's my fault or not. Help me to really look and see whether I'm the instigator or not. I know many times the instigator is not the one that makes the loudest noise. He's just the one that gets it started. And he gets something started, and then there goes everything, and he sets us innocent. I didn't do a thing. But if you want to be true today, honest, you'd say, Lord, testify against me. Lord, help me to humble myself when I need to. If I need to humble myself, help me to humble myself. Help me to put things in their proper perspective. Not fight over a little corner of space. Is it really worth it? Not to get a little upset over a little and trivial things. Is that a problem with you? Or is that a problem with me? See, when I'm saying, Lord, help us today. There is a pure religion. There is a grace of God that teaches us how to live. And it teaches us how to be sober and righteous and godly right here in this present world. It teaches us right here how to be real and show people that it's real. And to show people that there's something out of the ordinary here. And I really believe with all of my heart what we're going to be marked as time gets darker, as we go on in to our modern time, I think the thing that we're going to be known as, and Lord help us, we're going to be known as real. We've got to be known as real. Religion's not going to cut it. We've got to be known as real and authentic. We've got to be authentic. We say God loves you. We've got to prove to people God loves you. I love you. God's in me. I love you. That. We're going to be the only Bible many people read. We've got to be real about this. We're going to have the grace of God in our hearts. We're going to have to look over things, around things. We're going to have to do these kind of things. Love covers a multitude of sins. And it doesn't mean that it hides it or covers it up. It just means that it's over top of it. It's so much more dynamic than that. Lord, help us to have the Spirit of Christ, the reality, not just the works. My burden is this, because I've lived long enough to see it happen. I've lived long enough to see myself settle down into a routine, a rut, a way. If I'm not careful, I'm going to lose the reality of it and hold on to the externals. But Lord, help our passion today. Help our desire. Teach us, Lord, today how to do what we need to do. Help us to open our hearts. The Scripture talked about a one that went out to sow. The parable of the sower. And he sowed. And I appreciate the Scripture because it said he sowed. He sowed. He sowed on all the ground. The seed fell everywhere. To every heart the seed fell. He wasn't slack with the seed. The seed fell. It fell by the wayside. Would you go out here and plant corn by the road out here? Maybe dig up right in the gravel beside the road. Put some corn in there. But the Lord sowed his seed, didn't he? The gospel fell by the wayside. What happens to it on the wayside? There's no way that you could plant anything out there and get it to grow. It don't grow. He planted it and some of the fowls came and took it away. Others, he fell on stony ground. It was in thorny places. The ground got choked out. Some places it didn't have root in itself. All those. But there was a time that he said, there was a place that it fell. It fell on a good and honest heart. A good and honest heart. And I think of that Scripture many times, Lord. That's where the fruit came from. The good ground was that was a good and honest heart. Honest enough. Honest enough to say, Lord, show me who I am. Help me to see who I am. And I'll accept it, Lord. Help me to see that. Lord, help us today. That we would have more than the superficial experience. I want the reality of it. I want the real thing. I don't really like phony things. We use phony things. Brother Sammons used to say that. I don't like anything phony. I like it real. He used to complain about the styrofoam plates. Them ain't real. I want a real plate. I want a real cup, he said. I don't like your stuff. I want something that's real. I want something that's made well. I want something that's right. I know exactly what he's talking about. I don't like things that don't work. I don't like things that just not real. I want it real. That atomic clock is real. The time's real. You can put it with the other atomic clock and they're always dead the same. They switch right at the same time. Every time. You can't see the difference in them. I want something that's that accurate and real in my soul. I want to know that. Lord, help me to be accurate about this. To be wrong. Well, the Scripture says about men's sins. Some are open here. Some go to the judgment. I say open them here, Lord. Help me to see it here. Help me to deal with it here so I don't have to stand before you and deal with it over there. The Lord has something real for us. The reality of a strong thriving church is the strength of each individual. The reality that each individual has in their lives of the grace of God. I told my wife recently, I don't know how, with what Sister Karen is going through, and by the grace of God, I said, how could any of us ever claim that there's not enough grace for us? How could you ever claim, with what she's going through and holding and having the grace to do it with, how could you and I say we don't have enough grace to get along with one another? That we don't have enough grace to stay away from things we should. How could we ever say there's not enough grace? You pray for me. I want the Lord to give me the reality.